Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Zach Meisel, the author of this bombshell story from The Athletic that the Cleveland Indians looks like they could be very well staying and making sure that they're here for a while here. We read excerpts of this. Were you listening to us talk about your article, Zach?
Yeah, a little bit in between my bouts of laughter still days later after your comparison to Jason Lloyd's pit stains and Jimmy DeMora.
That's why you have to listen to the show, because I referenced that he looks like Jimmy DeMora. And if you didn't hear it live, then you're missing out on a lot. So, Zach, I liked your story here. I read it, and it takes a long time for me to read anything. And I'm encouraged. I think I'm encouraged. When you get to the part about the whole 17 city council seats up for re-election, I go, you get that many politicians in a room, they're going to start politicking, and it's going to get a little bit weird. If we're in the woods, how far through the woods are we before we're out of the woods, making sure the Indians stay here in Cleveland long term?
I think you see the clearing. I think you see where I don't. They're not moving. I mean, I think it's just there's so much going on at once. I think that's sort of why it's weird. I mean, Anthony said it. It's been eerily quiet for a team that has so much going on with a name change and an expiring lease and clearly issues with ownership and payroll, because their payroll is bottom barrel. And you have an owner that claims he's losing tens of millions of dollars every year. And if that's the case, then why do you own the team in the first place? And, you know, there's just so much going on. And I mean, I think a lot of fans just mentally made the connection to, hey, lease is up in 2023 and maybe you can just let the parties in Nashville pick the new team name. I mean, I understand how people got there. So I think with all this going on, I think from the organization standpoint, they wanted to just get some things set in stone maybe before some things went public. And maybe that's why it's been so quiet. But I think you can see where this is all heading. And hopefully this article sheds some light on the fact that it's heading in the direction of a team staying with a new lease extension and a minority owner who can pump some more money into the operation.
Well, a couple questions about the minority ownership situation. We're talking to Zach Meisel, just had this story today in The Athletic here on the hotline. How difficult has it been to find that next Sherman who could be a minority owner and potentially formulate a succession plan down the road? And do you find that to be something that is inevitable, that this owner, minority owner, has enough money, Stanley Middleman, that he could eventually become the owner?
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, first, so keep in mind, it took like 3 years to find John Sherman, and they had to get a third party involved to help them locate him. So for whatever reason, it's not an easy process. So I know they've been open to this idea pretty much ever since John Sherman went and took over the Royals. Now, the one thing that was sort of stressed to Jason Lloyd and I, that we went through this process of reporting all this, was, yes, John Sherman had a path to majority ownership, but there was no deadline on it. There was no specific timeline that said, hey, by 2022, John Sherman will be the owner of this team. It was sort of left to Paul Dolan's discretion. And so while I do think an arrangement, if I had to guess, I would say an arrangement with a new minority owner would have a similar clause where the minority owner can eventually become the majority owner, I think it would be a similar thing where Paul Dolan is going to exit when he feels like exiting. And it doesn't sound like that's going to happen in the immediate future.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought there might be like a firm timeline of when he'd want to get out. That's sorry, I might have taken Lyman's question away from him. Really, Zach, so could he still own the team? You're saying Paul Dolan could be the owner of the team in 2031 instead of 2021 even?
I think it's possible. I don't know that he knows the answer to that. So I think that, you know, there's so many things to get out of the way first. I do think he'll be the owner still for at least a few more years. I think it's sort of a let's see where we're at in a couple of years. Let's see how things are going. Let's see what's up with his family. I mean, his parents are very old. I know that's something he referenced to me a couple of years ago when I asked how much longer the family's going to own this team. So I don't know that they know the answer to that. I think that's sort of why they want to leave it flexible, but I also think that's why they like the idea of having a succession plan too, where they were comfortable with John Sherman. They had partnered with him and gotten to know him over a few years, and John Sherman had his stake grew during his 3 years with the organization. So you could see a similar arrangement where if he likes how things are going with the new guy, you know, eventually that new guy is the one who takes over.
What would happen if he wasn't able to find a minority owner either 3 years ago or in this situation here? I mean, how worried should fans have been? And if this falls through somehow, how nervous should fans be?
Well, it's so hard because we don't see the books and we do see the national TV deals and the revenue sharing that I know it's not like the NFL and it's not like the NBA with the salary cap and massive TV deals that get distributed in that league. But there's still a lot of sources of revenue that, you know, when I say the Dolans have claimed to lose money on an annual basis, that's what they said. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. I don't know. I haven't seen the book. So, but what you can point to is they have a $50 million payroll and, you know, they said that it'll take a couple of years to get out of the damage inflicted by the pandemic. Now, a minority owner will help with that. And Paul Dolan has said the payroll will increase. This is as low as they should get. But still, it's really tough to win and to build an organization when your hands are tied and you've got just no money on the books. So, yeah, I mean, I think the question, and you brought it up, I think, last segment, Anthony, is who's buying the team? You know, if it's not Dolan and there was no minority ownership pursuit here, who would be interested? I think Forbes valued the franchise at almost $1.2 billion back in March. There would be suitors for it. It's just, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you sell to a stranger.
Zach Meisel joining us on the show. What would be some of the things they could – if they get a lease extended, what are some of the things they could do with the stadium?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the one thing where we're kind of limited in what we could report there just because that's something that no one wants to reveal because that's, you know, first of all, it probably includes taxpayers and it's also the main point of contention here in these negotiations. So, but I can say, you know, there will be some sort of pursuit of trying to build up the area around the ballpark. I think that's something you're seeing a lot more when you see a new ballpark built, yeah. Whether it's, I mean, think about Glendale and what they did out there and basically built a city or a community around the stadium out there. And it's not going to be to that extent. There just isn't real estate around Progressive Field to do that. But it is something that they've kicked around is just how can we drive more revenue? How can we make this a more desirable place to visit? If you don't want to just go to the ballpark, you know, maybe there can be stuff around the ballpark that attracts you there. And then it's a big thing is going to be like the internal renovations. You know, they 5-6 years ago, they did the stuff in right field, everyone's favorite shipping containers in the corner. And, you know, they had the new scoreboard. But they haven't really addressed the internal stuff, the stuff that fans don't see, whether it's the service level or just like internal renovation. So I would think that will be a big part of it too. But, you know, we'll probably get a full scope of exactly what they're trying to highlight when they come to some final terms.
Zach Meisel joining us on the hotline. In the story, quote, one source with knowledge of the city's sports and financial landscape said he has long feared Cleveland can't sustain three major professional teams. You know, we've certainly heard that over the years, and we have speculated at times. It's a unfortunate conversation to have. It's not a fun conversation, but Cleveland is one of the smallest, if not the smallest market to have three teams in NBA, MLB, NFL. So if that's the case, and you've heard that this city may not be able to financially support, whether it's TV partners, whether it's business partners, you know, in the community or just season ticket holders, then what does this information in this story mean for that three teams can actually be sustained in this town?
Yeah, I think you just need evolution. I mean, I think what helps is getting a minority owner to pump some cash into here and maybe someone who, I mean, the Dolans run this ship like a business and they're like balancing their checkbook and they're monitoring every dime that's spent and every dime that's coming in. And that's just not the way that franchises operate anymore, because you get these tech moguls who come in and they're worth $30 billion and they don't care if they lose a little bit of money. So I think the minority owner helps. I think a big thing that we didn't really touch on, because it's probably an article in itself, but you know, there's going to be a new collective bargaining agreement in baseball at some point. It expires in December. And I think you can see some changes. And it's not even just that, but baseball needs to adapt, period, where you have just and this isn't an excuse because it's not just Cleveland, but it is. It's a lot tougher for some of these smaller market teams to just compete and not even that, but it's just to cover for their mistakes. If you sign someone or if you trade for someone and they don't pan out, and think back to the Swisher and Bourne contracts where any other team would have been able to just say, okay, well, that $30 million a year was a waste. It didn't work out, but we'll go sign this guy instead. And that the Indians didn't do that because they were so concerned about how much money they were losing or not profiting. So I think it's an evolution. You know, eventually you're going to need to make more on your TV deal, or you're going to need to get creative with that. So I think the city can sustain three teams. You just have to be forward thinking and you have to think about ways, you know, how are you going to be able to get more consumers in the future? Well, what's this going to look like in 5 to 10 years? And just to be prepared for that. So, the first step is certainly a lease extension, a new minority owner. And, you know, maybe you can take those and leverage them into finding ways to bring more people to the ballpark and to diversifying your revenue streams.
I'm curious about the name change now. And I know, again, they're being very, I think all of us are. So I guess my question is, if we thought that they were pressured to do this, or Major League Baseball intervened to try to get the All-Star game, we never fully found out whether or not that was accurate. With all that said, what is the expectation, or what should the expectation be on a time frame here? Like, what if they don't have a team name 5 years from now? They'll come under fire. So how long do they have?
Yeah, I think there's also the risk of the longer this runs, the more people are just going to be turned off from the whole process. And no matter what name you come up with, they're not going to like it. And that's a risk with a lot of people, no matter how long this process takes. But I just think the longer this drags on, it the worse it probably gets. I think they're going to need to know/reveal pretty soon what the timeline is, because you get to a point where, I mean, think about all the things they have to do besides, you know, the trademarking and all that. But you've got to develop new uniforms. You have to scrub every single reference of Indians from the ballpark in the city and replace it. And you've got to come up with a logo and a color scheme and branding and what's your messaging going to be. And a lot of preparation there. It takes a long time. And so if this is going to be ready for opening day 2022, you probably need to know right about now, I would think.
Could they just wait? I'm sorry to cut you off, Zach. Could they just wait until there's a new lease down before they, okay, now here's going to be the new name? Because especially, like, you brought up the color scheme. Like, what if they did change the colors? Like, that takes a whole lot of work on a stadium and everything.
Well, and I think that's why all of this stuff happening concurrently I mean, I would not want to be someone who works in their marketing department or business office or communicate. I mean, it's, there's a lot going on there, and everything is interrelated. So yeah, that's why I think, I mean, they're confident that they're going to strike an agreement on the lease here soon. And then, Ken, I know you're concerned with the politics part of it. We had a lot more in the story about that element. And then after talking to more people, it seems like it might just delay the decision. I don't think it's going to totally derail it on the lease. And so, you know, I think they're comfortable with where they're at in that standpoint where, yeah, I think I'm assuming the goal, I know the original goal was to have a new name in place for 2022. And I think whether that's still viable is something they're going to have to decide pretty soon, just because then you need to set the wheels in motion to do everything I just laid out. And that takes a while.
How long will it take to see Gavin Williams in an Indians uniform or a Cleveland baseball uniform for that matter?
Look at you.
Yeah.
I don't know, 3 years probably.
That's too long.
2025.
How old is he? He's 21 now.
Gas.
100 miles an hour.
I'm seeing guys in the majors at 22 now. Some 21. I don't understand why it takes so long all the time.
Yeah, but he was like he had one good year. I mean, he was a reliever and it wasn't quite working out. And then you had the pandemic, and then he just blossomed this season. And that doesn't mean he's going to take forever, but I think they're going to work through things. I will say if he ends up being a reliever, he could speed through much quicker, but I think they want him as a starter, and that could take probably 3 years.
Okay. I also don't want Jose Ramirez involved with the All-Star game either, just because I always feel guys will get hurt now. I'm anti-All-Star game now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I have a suspicion, reckless speculation, that he would – no sounder? Okay. That he
reckless
was,
speculation.
Sorry, we got fill-ins here today, Zach. I know.
I think he wanted to do the home run derby, but he's just not fully healthy because he's had all those little things nagging him. So hopefully he'll be able to do it someday. I know he wants to do it at some point. But if he's not healthy enough to do that, I understand your trepidation of him playing in the game.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. All right, follow him on Twitter, @ZachMeisel. He's one of the best, giving us good news this morning. Zach, thank you very much, buddy. All the best to you.
You got it, fellas. Thanks.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talk about a couple of the things, especially with that name change coming up. And I just don't blame Anthony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.